Amen. Let's pray together as we dig into God's word this morning. Father God, as we sing that song, I'm so thankful that it's true. That we can come just as we are. That you invite us to be with you just as we are, God. That we don't have to fix ourselves before we can be with you. That we don't have to get our life in order before we can choose to follow Jesus, God. Because we can't. I'm not capable, not even close. It's only with you that we can find the hope and healing that we so desperately need, God. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you that you are so gracious and so understanding of our situation, God. That you know us so well that we can't save ourselves, that only you can do that, God. And we say thank you. Father God, as we dig into your word this morning, we just pray that you would speak, that you would show us a little more deeply what this new life that you offer looks like. That we would be driven, God, that we would be drawn to live it out more and more fully as you help us to do that, God, starting from wherever we are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 5. And we're not going to have it on the screen this morning. Uh-oh. So you're going to have to listen really closely. Or if you brought a Bible, even a digital one. Digital ones are okay too. That's allowed. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 5. And I do want you to listen really closely. This is a passage that is, the first two verses in particular are very famous. But this is a passage that speaks so well to what we're going to be trying to dig into this morning. But let's read that together. Paul is writing here to the church in Rome. And he's trying to help them understand a little bit more what it means to follow Jesus, what that looks like. And so here, the title is A Living Sacrifice. And I think it's really exciting. But let's read it together. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 5. He says, therefore, now, before we go any further, whenever you read a therefore in Scripture, you always have to ask what it's there for. Okay? Because that means he just said a bunch of stuff that's really important. Therefore, do this now. Okay, so we're not going to have time this morning, obviously, to get into the first 11 chapters of Romans. We could. Should we? No, we won't. But it's really good stuff. So, it's therefore. So, he talks lots and lots about what God was doing, what salvation looks like, who Jesus is, what all this is supposed to look like. And now in chapter 12, he says, therefore, all this stuff I've been talking about, therefore, this. So I'd encourage you, read, dig into the first 11 chapters. I mean, the whole book is great. It's one of my favorites. So dig into it. Read it. Understand, because what we're going to talk about in these five verses and what we're going to dig into this morning all hinges on the first 11 chapters of this book. So read it. Study it. Know it. Memorize it. We talked about memorizing Scripture a couple of weeks ago. Get it in your hearts because it matters. It sets up everything. But therefore, we're only on the first word. We haven't even got that far yet. Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And then he goes on from there to describe a little bit what the different functions within the body of Christ look like, and the responsibilities and gifts that we have in that. But this year we've been walking through this series that we called Believe, and we've been trying to understand what it means to live like Jesus. And so we've kind of got three parts to this. We started with thinking like Jesus. And now we're talking about what it means to act like Jesus. And then in a few more weeks, we're going to just talk about what it means to just be like Jesus. And each of these pieces is really, really important. But we started with thinking because in order to understand why Jesus did what he did, why he acted the way he did, we need to understand what he thought and why. What he thought about God, his Father, what he thought about Scripture, what he thought about the church, what he thought about creation and us and sin and everything. Because we need to think like he did if we want to act like he did. If we want to do what he did. Just like we read in Romans 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. As our mind is changed, then we'll be able to know what God's will is and how to live that out. What he wants of us, what our life is supposed to look like. We have to think differently. And it's a big deal because it changes everything. When we see the world, when we start to see life, God, ourselves, other people, like he did, it changes everything. Jesus is the most incredible and interesting and fascinating person that has ever lived. And everything he ever did is so different than how I would do it. So I have to figure that out. If he's so different, because to him, life was very obviously a very different experience than what I'm living. When you read the Gospels, when you look at how he lived, what he cared about, what was important to him, it's at least a lot more often than I'd like to admit, very, very different than the things I care about, than the things I worry about, than the things I want. If I want to be a follower of Jesus, what's the one thing I have to do? If I want to be a follower of Jesus, the one thing I have to do is follow him. I have to actually try to do what he did. I actually have to try to be like him. If we want to be a follower of Jesus, that's what it has to look like. It's not about words, it's about action. It's about doing something, actually following him, not just saying, Jesus is great, he's super cool. I have to do something. So we have to change our thinking. We have to line it up with him. He is the standard. What I think doesn't matter. My opinion, my preference doesn't matter. What other people think doesn't matter. What he thinks is the only thing that matters, because he proved he's the only one who understands what this life is really all about. He's the only one that gets it, so we have to understand what he was doing. But then what? This is so obviously not just about thinking, because Jesus very obviously didn't come just to spread a philosophy. His life was one of action. Words and actions that changed people's lives and transformed history. He had a real impact with real people in real life. And so if we want to do that, we have to act like he did. And so that's what we've been looking at these last couple of weeks. We've been trying to understand what it means to act like Jesus. And we looked at worship. What does it mean to worship like Jesus did? We looked at prayer. What does it mean to pray like Jesus did? We looked at Bible study. What does it mean to treat Scripture like Jesus did? These are critical practices and disciplines for building a life that looks like Jesus, most especially because that's how we find out what Jesus did in order to be able to do it. And then these last 2 weeks, we've looked at two huge areas that are really, really big and really, really difficult and really, really important. We looked at single-mindedness and total surrender. Jesus was completely focused on his Father, completely surrendered to his will. Every moment of every day, every word, every action, every instant, completely in tune with whatever and ready to respond to whatever his Father asked him to do. And that's what our life is supposed to look like. If, again, we want to be followers of Jesus. That's intense. Are we ready to do that? Can we do that? This week we're going to look at another huge part of acting like Jesus. We're going to explore biblical community, because the beautiful part of that really, really scary, really, really big, really, really difficult thing is the fact that we don't have to do it alone. We get to do it together. So this week we're going to be looking at biblical community. What does it mean to be the people of God? His people, his community, his church. As Romans 12 says, his body. The hands and feet, arms, the heart of Jesus. What does it mean for us to do this together? What does it look like, and what does it matter? I grew up in Hilda, Alberta. It's a tiny little farming community just north of Medicine Hat. You might have seen it on the news recently. A couple of months ago, they had a pretty big fire down there, and it was a pretty big deal. But that's where I grew up. The town itself has about 15 people in it. Actually 14 people now. Barry moved into the Hat now, so he's not there anymore. So 14 people in it. But that little town of Hilda has a little church in it called Hilda Baptist Church. And that's where I grew up. And every Sunday, the population of Hilda triples as people come to Hilda Baptist Church to sit and worship and care together in that beautiful old cedar log building. And it was in that building with those people that I learned what true biblical community looks like. And it is incredible. It's amazing. There's nothing else like it in the world. True biblical community is one of the most beautiful and powerful and meaningful things you can ever experience. I'm really fortunate because both of my parents, they're here this morning actually. I didn't even know they were going to be here when I started putting this together. So I'm going to brag about you guys. Where are my parents this morning? There they are. Hi, Mom and Dad. I'm going to brag about them this morning a little bit. And they happen to be sitting in the room, so that's good. I guess that's good, because they get to hear it. But I was really fortunate because I had two parents that love Jesus with all their heart. They are passionate about following Jesus, and they taught me and my brother what it looks like to live that out in every aspect of life. That was important to them, that we understood what following Jesus really looks like. And one of the things they drove into us more than anything is that following Jesus means living in biblical community with his church. Now, they didn't use words like that, but they showed us by prioritizing the people of God and the things of God and working together to care for one another and for our community, living together like that. They showed me that living in biblical community is a big deal all the time, as much as you can. I mean, little Hilda Baptist Church has maybe 40 or 50 people on a Sunday morning, depending how many of us kids are home visiting the farm that weekend, I guess. But for over 100 years, that tiny little church has had an impact on the kingdom of God and the community around the world that is far outstrips its size. That little church has produced pastors and church elders and ministry leaders and camp directors and international ministries, missionaries. And that's just from my generation alone, let alone all those preceding people through the century. Over the last century, that tiny church has impacted the lives of countless thousands of people. From that tiny little community. As the people there were raised and trained to share the life and love of Jesus wherever they are. It's because we were raised by a biblical community that showed us that the kingdom of God is what life is about. That following Jesus is what life is about. I had countless mentors in my life from that church showing me what following Jesus and serving others, sacrificially serving others, outside of the church, whoever in the community, giving up your life for others. So many people from that church showed me what that looked like. Cyril and Linda Anders, Peter's folks. Brian and Betty Kirschman, Wes and Renee Werfel, Barry and Gigi Fisher, Bob Finley, Les Unruh, on and on. These were people that showed me that following Jesus means dying to yourself and living for others in his name. These people modeled Jesus. They modeled biblical community to me and to my friends growing up. These were farmers and ranchers, nurses and pastors and piano teachers. They modeled what it means to serve others humbly in Jesus' name. To give, to share, to care, to sacrifice, so that others can experience the love of God. They understood that it's not about coming to a church service. These people at Hilda Baptist understood that biblical community isn't about what you get out of it. It's about what you can pour into it. It's about what you can give. In a small church like that, it's maybe a little bit more automatic because there's no one else to do stuff. If everyone doesn't do everything, nothing happens. But it's amazing because you are trained and shown and indoctrinated that you can be a part of building the kingdom of God. And more importantly, you have to be a part of building the kingdom of God, building biblical community. You have to dig in. You have to get involved. You have to sacrifice and give and share and care and love and pray and serve together. It's not about church programs. The very town of Hilda still exists as much as it does because of Hilda Baptist Church. The sense of community and connection and care that comes from that group of people knits that whole farming community together. It touches the lives of friends and neighbors and people in the area, and they get to experience the love and connection of Jesus, whether they choose to engage or not. It's there. These people are involved in one another's lives. And that was the plan. Right from the beginning. That's what Jesus wanted to have happen. All the way back with Abraham, it started. God calling these people, this person and his family, out to show the world what it means to live life with God. To show people that following God looks different when you choose to really follow him. And that was meant to continue in the church in a new and a deeper way. In Acts chapter 2, right after Jesus leaves his followers and he sends the Holy Spirit and it fills them and it guides them and it draws them together. We read about what that looked like in Acts chapter 2. It says, all the believers were together. And they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The message of the gospel changes people's lives. The message of Jesus is what this is all about. But as we live together in community, people are drawn to that. as these believers were living together in community, showing people, as the Israelites were supposed to do, and as the church is supposed to do, showing people what it looks like to follow God, it means living together. When people saw how they lived, how these community of believers and what they had, they were attracted to that. And they wanted to be a part of that. They shared everything. They shared their time. They shared their money. They shared their resources, their gifts, their talents. It's living together, sharing everything together. And it's something that our world is so hungry for. Our world is so broken and lonely and isolated, and we have infinitely more ways to connect than we've ever had before, and people are in less relationship than they've ever had. The statistics are staggering and terrifying. People are feeling so completely cut off from community. Where does community happen now? It's supposed to be here. We're supposed to be able to show them what that looks like. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. There's one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. This is it. The church is it. There's nothing else. This is God's plan for the world. Jesus came, died, was raised to life, established his church so that we can be his hands and feet. This is it. We are it. There's no other plan. We are it, and in fact, you are it. Each of you individually together, each of you in each seat of this church and every church in Leduc and around the world, we are it. Now, you might be thinking, that's a terrible idea. Whose plan was that? I'm not very good at following Jesus. There should be something else. Too bad. This is it. That's what Jesus built, a group of messed up people, forgiven by him, given his spirit, trying their best to follow him. That was and is his entire plan. Each of us, all of us, individually, together. As we choose to follow Jesus together. We're united by Christ, and we work together with him to build the biblical community that Jesus talked about and is so passionate about. It's not a building. It's not a worship service. It's not pastors or programs. It's you. It's me. It's us. With him. Paul talks about this again in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. He says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if you personally have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if you've experienced any comfort from his love, if you have any common sharing in the Spirit together, if you have any tenderness, any compassion, then make my joy complete and be like-minded. Have the same love and be one in spirit and one in mind. If we want to follow Jesus, the one thing we have to do is follow him. And what's important to him? His church. And what he has for us to do in this world. It's so important to him. He loves it so deeply that he calls it his bride. The church is the bride of Christ. He loves it that much. So we don't get to have a bad attitude about it. We're called to be unified. One in spirit, one in mind. If you want the church to be a place of love and compassion and service and giving, then be loving. Be compassionate. Serve, give. Because you are the church. If you want to follow Jesus, you have to be passionate about his church, his people, because he is. You have to be part of building biblical community. We need you. Jesus' church needs you because you bring gifts and talents and resources that I don't have, that Pastor Dennis doesn't have, that the people sitting right around you don't have. You're connected to people that I'm not connected to. You're able to reach out and know them and care for them and love them when I can't. The Christian life was never intended to be lived alone. Those who have received Christ are hardwired through their new spiritual DNA to live in community together. We all have this little rebellious streak. We don't want to need others. We don't want to rely on others. We're too cool to dig in with these religious weirdos and losers. I mean, you know, I kind of do, but not like those people, no. We don't get to do that. We have to dig in. We have to lay down our ego, lay down our pride, lay down our fears. Maybe you've been hurt before by the church. I am so sorry, because the church is you and me. We're broken people. And broken people hurt people sometimes. And that's never okay. That was not the plan, but it's going to happen. But can you still trust that Jesus' church is a big deal to him? And that you can still be a part? Again, if you want the church to be loving, then love. If you want the church to be compassionate, then be compassionate. If you want the church to be a place of forgiveness, then forgive. We have to do that. We care about each other. Our pride and our ego and our fears all get set down, and we are about God. We are about his people. We are about his world, his work. Living life together, walking with Jesus together, coming together in victory and celebration and in tragedy and in pain, caring for and encouraging and discipling each other. I was talking about Hilda Baptist and the amazing experience I had there, because that's where I grew up. But the amazing biblical community that I talked about and that I'm so excited about, the incredible part is that it exists here too. Those things that I was talking about happening in Hilda, that's happening here at LFC too. We are following Jesus together. We are building biblical community together. We are being the church together. When you take a need that gets sent out on the hub, from little things, when we bring a meal, someone has a baby or they have a surgery or they're just going through a hard time and you bring them a meal. You help someone move. You shovel someone's snow. You just give them a ride. When you just go for coffee or invite someone who's hurting and you just pray for them and listen to them. To bigger things. When we all choose to invest together and build a bigger space here that can serve as an incredible meeting place for our community. You guys would not believe the number of things that happen in this building. Funerals and weddings and bus driver trainings and flu clinics and condo boards and on and on and on. We have the chance to bless our community for them to come and see what it is like to be a part of the family of Jesus as we share his love with them. We pool our resources to serve each other, to worship together, to send missionaries around the world. It's amazing. It's happening right here, right now. You are doing that. It's not about a building. It's not about programs. It's not about pastors. It's about you. Each of you together are the biblical community that you make happen. Again, we put aside our own stuff and we dig in and we serve and care and give and live together for each other and most especially for our community here of Leduc, for the kingdom that Jesus is building. All the stuff we're talking about is building together. If we're worshiping and praying and studying God's word well, if we are single-minded in our desire to follow Jesus, if we are totally surrendered and I'm giving up everything I want and need and fear and struggle with, then we're going to invest in biblical community. Because Jesus built us to need each other. And Leduc and the people around us and the people in this room will get to experience the love and grace and mercy and joy of God through us, through you. Biblical community isn't convenient. Doesn't just fit into life. It isn't easy. It doesn't happen by accident. It's sacrifice. It's work. It's effort and risk. It's each of us putting ourselves out there for others. Because Jesus sacrificed so much more for us. If we want to be followers of Jesus, we have to follow him. And this is where he's going, leading his church. Be the church. Be biblical community. Come with us as we try to follow Jesus. It's so funny. We don't plan these things, but we just, this week, happened to get these new cards. If you want to be a part of this thing, fill out one of these cards. If you're brand new here and you're thinking, yeah, this community thing, this family thing, this life thing, that's, I need to know more about that. I need to dig into that a little bit. Fill out one of these Connect cards. If you're here and you want to dig in a little deeper and you want to serve in a different way, fill out one of these Grow cards. And if you want to just pray for people or you need prayer because we are a family together, fill out one of these prayer cards and we can pray for you and you can pray for others. Let's follow Jesus together. Let's be biblical community together in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, again, I am so thankful that you built this thing, your church, that we don't have to try to follow you alone, that we don't have to fix the world by ourselves, that you have invited us to be a part of your family, your community, your body, that we can share and grow and learn and love and care together. God, your vision for this world is incredible. The desire you have for life and healing and hope to just flood through the world is amazing. And your church is your vehicle for that, God. We get to be a part of that. To see lives transformed as they meet you. As you work, as you bring that healing. As you bring that hope, that life, that direction, God. There's nothing more incredible in the world than to watch that happen. And thank you, God, for the support and care that exists when we struggle because we're not perfect, because we have been hurt, because we've hurt others in our selfishness, in our fear. God, we thank you that there is this community of believers that can come around us and care for us too. Father, you are amazing and your church is amazing and we are so, so thankful that we can be a part of it. I thank you for LFC and for the incredible things you are doing here. I thank you for all of the churches in Leduc and the amazing things that you are doing through them. The lives that are being changed, the needs that are being met. And around the world and throughout history, God. Inspire us. Show us how we can dig in more deeply to build that biblical community ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.